Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB Digital Radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.
Joining us now is Andrew Sentence, Senior Advisor to Cambridge Econometrics and former member, of course, of the MPC. Andrew, thank you very much for joining us in the London studio. Will this U-turn, reported U-turn, if it comes about, and the Times newspaper is suggesting and reporting that they could announce it as soon as today on corporation tax, do you see that as enough to restore credibility for the markets?
Well, it would be perhaps an improvement of where we are now. Whether we see a total U-turn or perhaps some measures being delayed and phased in at a more gradual pace, because I think the worrying thing about this package was the scale of it, alongside the fact that the measures were going to come in quite rapidly and therefore the implications for public finances were quite significant. Now, there's different ways in which the government could address that, so we'll have to wait and see. But even if there are some immediate measures, the sort of real thing that I think most people are looking for is the outlook for public finances and for the economy from the Office for Budget Responsibility, which is still not due until the 31st of October. So we could still see, before that arrives, continued volatility and uncertainty and nervousness in the markets.
Does that mean that the Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey can stick to this deadline today? You know, we were speaking to Martin Wheel, another former MPC member, saying that actually, you know, the next few days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, are going to be very crucial. Does Bailey have to extend the emergency bond buying to support pension funds next week?
Well, he's still got another package in place, a repo arrangement, which the funds that are affected can have access to. So we'll have to see if that's going to be sufficient. But I think Andrew Bailey is right that this should be a temporary measure, so it should come to an end. And it seems to have had the effect of calming markets to some degree. They've obviously not gone back to where they were, but they have definitely come back a bit from some of the high levels we saw earlier this week.
Yeah, and to your point, we're seeing yields again down quite dramatically here in the UK. Within the context, you've seen, of course, significant volatility. Currently, the 30-year gilt trading at 4.36, that's a move lower by 18 basis points. Andrew, my question for you then is on the permanency then of any scarring to the UK economy, but also to UK assets and the way that UK assets are perceived by international markets as a result of everything that's transpired since that mini budget. Is that a risk? Is that a material risk? And that can that be overcome?
Well, there seems to be a higher risk premium is being priced in. There's also questions being raised about the credibility of government policy. The UK has normally been seen as a sort of safe pair of hands, so to speak, in managing fiscal matters. And of course, we have the Bank of England, which is independent, handling monetary policy. I think the very nerve-wracking thing about this was monetary policy and fiscal policy were pulling in opposite directions. And while the bank was trying to take demand out of the economy, the government was pumping it back in at quite a significant rate. So alongside any specific measures that are announced, I think that problem needs to be addressed, and we need to see forecasts that suggest that the fiscal policy is acting in a more consistent way with monetary policy.
One of the issues with that, Andrew, is people. One of the risks that the government took was in firing Tom Scholar, his replacement being James Bowler, who does have 20 years of experience at the Treasury, but his background is in budgets, not in financial markets. Do you think that Treasury has enough people with enough market know-how right at the top of the team?
Well, there are lots of people employed in the Treasury, so I think, and there's a lot of expertise there, so it doesn't all just hinge on one or two individuals.
Sure.
But I think the issue in the Treasury is to make sure that the Chancellor of the Exchequer is actually listening to his officials and taking their advice, so he can you know, make judgments based on all that accumulated experience. And it did seem with this mini-budget fiscal event, however it's described, there was a great rush to bring something out, and maybe it wasn't processed and discussed enough within the Treasury, but I think the expertise is still there.
But has there been a politicisation of the Treasury under this current administration?
Well, we're into the early days of this administration.
Yes. I
think over a long term, I think we have seen perhaps more political influences on policy making from special advisers, etc. But it's, I think, a bit too early to say if that's really changed dramatically under this government.
What if Trussonomics survives? I mean, does Kwarteng survive? Does Truss herself survive? What do the actual policies survive?
Well, the whole heart of the Trussonomics agenda was basically supply-side measures that are aimed to raise the growth rate of the economy. Now, the difficulty with that is that supply-side measures, even if you've got the right ones and they are working, take quite a long time to affect the growth of the economy. And I think the notion that we were going to sort of bounce back to a 2.5% growth rate was really totally unrealistic, and I don't think many economists believe that's on the cards for the foreseeable future. Mm. So I think perhaps there needs to be a reassessment of the types of measures that are being taken under this government, and also the time scale in which they can really affect growth. Now, we'll hear from the Office of Budget Responsibility what they think at the end of this month.
Very briefly, because unfortunately we're running short of time, your expectations about rate hikes from the Bank of England in November and going forward?
Well, I would expect a rate rise of either 0.75% or 1% in November. I think the bank are beginning to realise they're behind the curve a bit, and they need to do something a bit more dramatic than they've been doing up until now.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.